President Biden made an appeal today to Congress before its holiday recess. He's asking lawmakers to approve funding to Ukraine as the country continues to battle Russia's invasion.
History's going to judge harshly those who turn their back on freedom's cause. We can't let Putin win. Say it again, we can't let Putin win.
Biden's remarks came after he met virtually with G7 leaders and Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky. But his push was not successful. The Senate failed to pass a key procedural hurdle on a $110 billion package this evening, as many Republicans are leery of spending more money on Ukraine.
Meanwhile, many in Ukraine's tech sector are contributing to the country's defense while dreaming of a future beyond the war. NPR cybersecurity correspondent Jenna McLaughlin brings us that story.
I'm at an office in downtown Kyiv. It feels like a Silicon Valley startup, complete with fancy coffee machines, nap pods, and even a few office cats. Except the bottom floor is now a bomb shelter. We're talking about an innovative new product, Spybuster.
Started to develop it by myself because I don't want to bother other guys and girls.
Sergei Krivoblotsky is the head of technical research and development at MechPaw, a Ukrainian software company. He made an app that scans your phone for other apps connecting to servers in Russia and Belarus to sniff out potential spyware. Thus, Spybuster. You might recognize the inspiration for the name.
Ghostbusters, you know, this icon of ghosts. What's your name?
Companies like MechPaw are a major part of the war. They volunteer time, services, technology, but they're also a key part of Ukraine's future. They need to figure out how to help win the war, but also revive Ukraine's economy. They want to bring home Ukraine's growing diaspora of refugees and expats, because technology and IT might be the country's best hope. Right now, though, they need to make it through each day.
Even if it's a good day, it feels like something heavy is around, just around your shoulder.
That's Oleg Stukalenko, the head of MechPaw's new cybersecurity division.
So maybe my hope, my idea for that is just removing that weight.
Removing that weight, the war. Stukalenko is weary but confident that Ukraine's tech experts will win the day. But not everyone is so sure. At a cafe 20 minutes away from MechPaw's office, I sit down with Mykita Kanish. He used to be in government intelligence, and now he's a cybersecurity businessman and hacktivist. We meet in the afternoon. He's not exactly a morning person.
Hackers normally works until 4 or 5 o'clock, and so it's actually my starting of the day.
Yeah.
The first person that I meet today.
His first meeting of the day. Kanish is smoking a hookah pipe, seemingly endlessly, in between jokes and curse words. To say he was skeptical of the government and its willingness to work with Ukrainian cybersecurity experts would be putting it lightly.
The hackers are not able to test any type of the websites if they are not allowed.
Not allowed. Basically, he's saying the government didn't want to let him and his colleagues test their servers for vulnerabilities. In fact, back in 2020, the government raided his and other experts' homes, thinking they'd hacked Odessa Airport, when they actually tried to report a security flaw to try to secure it, they said. But more importantly, Kanish insists the government didn't listen to hackers' warnings, that war was coming in the winter of 2022, and that they were unprepared for what's happened since. Ukraine's government officials would contest that. By all accounts, they've done a good job defending the country's networks. But Kanish wants to go on the offense. That's partly why he says he took matters into his own hands and started a hacker collective called Hack Your Mom soon after Russia launched its full-scale invasion. Kanish is an extreme example of an outspoken critic. There are others who are less willing to speak up, who have similar concerns about corruption and lack of skill inside the government. In fact, multiple top cybersecurity officials, including one I met with while in Kyiv, Viktor Zhura, were recently arrested. They're facing corruption charges. It's part of a long-time battle inside Ukraine's borders.
Broken bureaucracy, actually.
Bureaucracy and...
But many more are optimistic that war might actually be an opportunity for a new generation to lead, for an industry to be revolutionized. I meet Natalia Kushurneska in an office building on the outskirts of Kyiv. It feels like a tech campus. I'm here to learn about a new tech incubator. It's called Brave One. It's designed to streamline the pipeline between technologists and the Ukrainian military.
I would say sometimes we're calling ourselves like translators, you know, from a technology market to military market. You know.
She's the project manager, and she's already juggling more than 400 applications for funding and inclusion in the incubator.
Already some really nice solutions within electronic warfare. We've found some solutions within antennas, solutions within robotic systems, so it was our first point. Now we're working and we understand that it's AI.
There's everything from underwater drones to robots. Some products have been adapted from their previous uses, too. Drones built for agriculture turned into high-end surveillance systems. Virtual reality programs designed for gaming turned into training modules. Natalia Kushernetska has to figure out how to turn those ideas into reality.
Actually, my previous job was Ministry of Economy of Ukraine. So I was an advisor to the first deputy minister. My best skill is actually to make things happen.
The ultimate goal is to organize a torrent of innovation. Make sure it's practically useful during the war. It's a running joke in Ukraine that everyone has their own drone factory in their garages. Some are taking things a step further. Roman Seljuk, the Ukrainian former manager of the Moscow Exchange, left Russia for good in 2014 after the invasion of Crimea. Now, he's using his skills in finance to invest in Ukraine's future, its technology. He's betting big on Ukrainian drones.
For example, one of the companies I invested in is a company that makes these heavy, they're rebuilding agri drones to actually carry 30 kilograms of explosives. It's unreal. When the thing flies, it's absolutely silent. And this is what Russian call this Baba Yaga, like boogeyman, because it looks...
The Baba Yaga, the boogeyman. We meet at an old office building in Kyiv, overlooking Taras Shevchenko Square, honoring the famous Ukrainian poet. Some of the decorative elements of the facade have been blown clear off after a Russian missile hit a children's park just below. But now, the park is rebuilt. Seljuk has a grand vision for rebuilding all of Ukraine.
Rebuilding of Ukraine will have to be across Europe, like international project. I mean, I want to see people from all over the world and companies from all over the world coming here, helping. You know, this has to be, you know, Ukraine has helped unite Europe, you know, over this last few years, helped unite NATO. And I really hope that actually, you know, rebuilding it, that is our politicians won't stand in the way.
He makes a little dig at the ongoing corruption scandals. Then Seljuk gets a little emotional, a little wistful, making the pitch for Ukrainians to come home to.
That, you know, we will open up the country to capital, to people. And, yeah, our guys will come back as well, because it is, I personally think, the best place on earth to live. It's so beautiful.
Perhaps that dream will one day be reality, after the war. Jenna McLaughlin, NPR News, Kyiv.